Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study to see how to interpret Scripture. Lesson 6. Why is interpretation needed? A text of the Apostle Paul. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Presuppositions. In Israel, at the time of Jesus, nearly everybody in this culture of the Jews was of the same opinion what the Messiah would do when he would appear in the scene. The Romans would be thrown out of the country and there would be a kingdom again. The Messiah is the king then. So this was for sure. Now when Jesus came, he was the Messiah. He did not please this idea. And the disciples waited and waited and waited and waited so long, 3.5 years. And even then, when Jesus was about to go back to heaven after he had been risen from the dead, resurrection, and had shown himself for 40 days, the last question of them, is it now that you will be king here in Israel? So it is in there. Mind. It cannot be rooted out of the mind. It's there. So for hundreds of years, this idea, this concept grew and grew and grew. And it was very, very difficult to get this concept out of the mind of the people. Just before Jesus was arrested and crucified, he told his disciples in advance, 3 times, now we're going to Jerusalem. They will bind me, take me in front of their council, and they will accuse me that I should be killed, and they will crucify me, and I will be resurrected on the third day. Now when Peter and the other apostles heard this, they, especially Peter, presses forward and tells what all the others think in the same, they think about it in the same way. And he says, oh no, never, ever. We will take care that this will not happen. So they have such presuppositions in their head, in their mind. It's there. And when they hear that there's a resurrection, they do not hear it anymore. And they do not listen to it. They have heard, he shall be crucified. Oh no! He is the one who will free us from the Romans. Not he is crucified by the Romans. This would be the end of all our dreams. So when there is a special idea in your mind, You cannot stop that. It's there. It's there in the mind. the people. But in the end, they got division. Translation and interpretation. When the Apostle Paul traveled around telling the people about Jesus who had been resurrected from the dead, founding churches, it was difficult in some areas because there were so many different languages, especially when he came to Corinth, this city with a harbor, with the many different cultures and peoples living there. Now when, because of these many languages that were spoken in Corinth, Paul was there and wrote a letter to them afterwards when he had already gone away from them. He wanted to bring some order into the system and said, if there's someone with another language you do not understand, then we need one who is able to translate him. If there's no one here who can translate him, then he shall be quiet. Interesting. When you think of Pentecostal churches, where people are in a mood of speaking just something which doesn't make any sense, but this is the sign of the Holy Spirit, as the people are told, Paul wouldn't agree, would say, no, if it doesn't make sense, if nobody can understand it, be quiet. It must make sense. We must understand what has been said. So translation and interpretation is important. And we are happy that we have the Bible in our language. But there are still tribes, small tribes on this planet, that are not able to have a Bible among them, because they do not even have letters, characters. They only speak orally. They have nothing in written form. It doesn't exist in their culture. I remember a person, it was an Austrian teacher for mathematics in high school, and he did the following. He went to Africa for 10 years to a small tribe to do the following. To study the language first, that he's able to understand them, and then to form their language into a written language so that they get characters and the words written down, and that in the end they get a part of the New Testament, normally a gospel, to be translated into their language, and they have their language in a written form for the first time in their life. And this took him 10 years to do so. And in the end he had one person of this tribe, a young person who was clever enough. And he had trained him, he was a teacher for mathematics, and now he trained someone learning to read and write. And this person translated a gospel of Matthew, into the language of this tribe in a written form. And when it was printed and the people got it, they knew this is more than gold. Translation, interpretation. It's so important that we have such missionaries on this planet. And nowadays, the Bible is the book who is more translated than all other books. What a blessing for those who read it and act according to that what they have read. The Bible and culture. The Apostle Paul traveled to Greece and he came to the capital city of the Greek people, Athens. And there he found a very special culture. In those days, in the Roman Empire, Greek education was the education people, yeah, they acknowledged it as the best. And because of that, rich Roman families, leaders in the country, they got a Greek teacher for their kids and their family. Because Greek teachers, they are the best. And so the Greeks became a little bit arrogant because of that. And even more in the capital of Greece. There was the center of education. Now when Paul came there, how could he proclaim the gospel of Jesus there? And we find an interesting text in Acts 17. And Luke, who accompanied Paul, tells us about this. What happened there? And there were certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics, and they encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say? Do you see the arrogance?" But others, what did they say? "He seems to be a set of force of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, this is the marketplace, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof you speak is. For you bring certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. Come, speak, we're interested." And then Luke tells why. "For all the Athenians and strangers, even they, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but what? But either to tell or to hear some new thing." They're curious. They discuss, and they are philosophers. The women, they do their housework so that everything goes smoothly, but they debate and discuss, as we have it in the Orient till now. Now, what to tell these people? They want to hear it, but only because they are curious, not because they are open-hearted. They just want to hear something new. And therefore, Paul is interested for them. And what could you say to such people who think that they know everything? Now, he has gone through the city and then he found an altar. And he said, "I perceive that in all things you are superstitious." For as I passed by, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God. No, it's the God I'm going to proclaim to you. Oh, the unknown God. What an idea. And after his preaching, and he preaches about the resurrection of Jesus, and then some start saying, that's enough now. That's too much. A resurrection of the dead. So we haven't heard that before. It's such a nonsense. But some, as Dionysius, a member of the highest council there in Athens, Dionysius, he is open-hearted. And he walks with Jesus and some other, with Paul and some other men, and Damaris, and some other women. So although they are so arrogant in their intellect, there are some who are open-hearted, but not so many as there were in Corinth. There were more. There, a big church was founded. Our sinful and fallen nature. In the Gospel of John in chapter 9, we find a story about a blind man. He had been born blind. He's healed by Jesus and he can see afterwards. Now imagine. For decades he had been blind. Now he can see. This is a joy. You can't describe it. And he jumps around. He runs around. He sings and shouts, and everybody knows a blind person. Suddenly he can see. And the priests, they want to find out how could it happen. And when they discover it was Jesus as a healer, they are not amused, to say the least. They are angry, very angry. And they end up to tell the healed person, Jesus is a sinner. Do not follow him. But this blind man who can see now is surprised. He says, a sinner? Jesus is a sinner, the one who healed me that I can see? Have you ever heard before that a sinner is able to heal a blind-born person? This is a question which makes sense, doesn't it? But now they become angry. And they say, you were born in sins, because they, in their mind, had the idea when someone is blind from birth on, then there is some hidden sin. So you were born in sin, and you want to teach us, the upper class? And they threw him out of the synagogue, out of the denomination. And then afterwards they meet Jesus. They start discussing with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, for judgment I've come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now they do understand something. And the Pharisees ask, are we blind also? Now this is a question. What to say now? What is the answer of Jesus? If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. It's interesting. The person who was blind, he can see now. But not only trees and people and houses. he can see more. He sees Jesus as the Messiah. And those who see become blind because they do not open their heart. It was such a tremendous miracle. A blind born is healed. But they were not amused. And they said, Jesus is a sinner. Although he had healed a blind boy. Because they are not willing to accept Jesus as the Messiah. They do not want to. So Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. He cannot be the Messiah because we do not want him to be the Messiah. Full stop. And this helps me to understand people when they do not open their hearts. In former days, I thought, wow, if I were Jesus now, I could do a miracle. And then, if somebody closes your heart, you can even do a miracle, as Jesus did. It will not help. They become angry. They become furious. And they say, Jesus is a sinner. Imagine. The Son of God. This description. How can that be? This is more than being silly. This is stubborn. This is rebellion. The Son of God is among them, and they say he is a sinner. So far away, you can go astray. Why interpretation is important. We go back 2,500 years to the time of Nehemiah. He had been in the presence of the Persian king, serving food and beverages, and he had asked the king for a special time of holiday, going to Jerusalem, reconstructing the walls. And for 4 months he had prayed for that. And then the king said, okay, you can go. And when he was there, he succeeded in building the wall of Jerusalem in a very, very short time. But there was another fine building made. In chapter 8 we read, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now this is a verse. They come together, all of them. They gather together. And what is their wish? They ask the scribe, the theologian, Ezra, to read in front of them the word of God. So if ever that happens to me, I jump through the air 10 meters high. It is, how can you imagine? And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. The day of blowing the trumpet. And then he read there, and the people would stand. And in verse 8 we read, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Wow. So it was something they could understand. It made sense. This is what people interested so much in Jesus' speech. They could understand him. Not like the speaking of the Pharisees and scribes and so on. He spoke in parables. He took scenes the people were familiar with. And they could identify themselves within these scenes. And they were impressed. They were so much impressed by this. Now when they heard Jesus, the people flocked together from all over Palestine. Whenever he came somewhere, they were there. They were there. And they wanted to listen. We hear reports that they stayed there the whole day. They forgot to eat and drink and everything. They wanted to hear him speak. It was so interesting. Maybe people would be more interested in the Word of God if there were more people speaking in a way that they can understand it and that they discover, that's something for my life. This helps me in my life. Oh, that's really great. Jesus in the middle, in the center. Summary. We have heard of Corinth, where so many different languages could be heard. We've heard of Athens, where the highly educated philosophers discussed with Paul, and were only curious, but not open-hearted for the gospel. Only a few of them. We've heard about the blind born. This man who was so full of joy because he could see for the first time in his life. He had never seen before. It was the first day he could see. And he's so full of joy and is stopped by the Pharisees. So what's going on here? Who has done that? Jesus? He's a sinner. It's unbelievable. This story is really unbelievable. They were not amused. Although a person who had been blind could see. But the only act they are told about, they threw him out of the synagogue. Because this blind born had asked this important question, how can a sinner heal a blind born? How can that be? And this question has in its contents, I think you err. You're on the wrong path. That can't be. And they come to. They tell him, you cannot teach us. We are the teachers. And if we say he's a sinner, then he is a sinner. Also, it doesn't make any sense. But they are the teachers. They are the leaders. And so therefore, they are right. Although they are not right. Oh, people can be in their mind so stubborn that something like this is in the end. So it's no wonder that they are lost. No wonder. We have heard of Ezra, Nehemiah, people had a vision. Both dreamed of Jerusalem, being there, helping the people there to be spiritually awakened. And they had different gifts, Ezra, Nehemiah, but they worked together, and in the end, there was a big, big awakening, a reformation. For hundreds of years, it hadn't happened. And now it was there. Two men had a vision. And because of two, many, many, many were blessed. Now what about you? Do you have this vision? I want to study God's word. I want to be impressed by the ideas of my Savior, by his life, his speeches, his acts, his warmness. If you're going to do this, this will make a difference in your life as nothing else. Do you want to climb higher? Do you want to have success in your life? It's here, in studying the Bible. It's here, there. There you will find it. Come on. It's your chance. Use your chance. Now. Not tomorrow. Now.